Hey, MCF, how's it going? It's great to be back. Before you take your seats, why don't you give someone a high five and a fist pump and let them know that it's good to be here in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. This morning, it's such a privilege and honor to be here. And it's been 4 years since I came back. And I got in last Friday. And being at MCF feels like home. I feel Australian already. And been having lots of steaks. Oh, I've missed that so much. And last night, I just had a tomahawk. Is that what you call it? Tomahawk steak. Kane just fed me half a cow, right? And I was in a meat coma and a food coma. And it's great to be back. And want to honor Pastor Rob and Pastor Dennis. Thank you for being such great role models. Ever since we pioneered this move of God in Sri Lanka, Pastor Rob and Pastor Dennis and the MCF family has been part of our journey. And it's such a great honor to have you all be part of that journey and to see and witness what God is doing in Sri Lanka. And I just want to quickly bring greetings from my family. That's my family. Last time I was here, we were a family of three, and now we are a family of four. My eldest daughter, her name is Elisa. She's 5.5 years, and my son is Elijah. She's he's 1.5 years old, and they're back home in Sri Lanka. And that's my wife, Leanne, my beautiful wife. Boys, I just want to let you know, if you've been praying for the most beautiful girl on this planet, I'm sorry, I've already got her, right? And, that's my wife, okay? So, just want to quickly also show three key leaders that we've been able to raise and release as a result of our partnership with MCF. The next slide, if you move on to, that's Shehara. You know, she is currently serving as my assistant, and also she is also a key leader that that leads the southern part of Sri Lanka, and which is a predominantly a Buddhist area. And we had one of the biggest events there, biggest moves of God in that part of the island, and she was one of the key leaders that led that. And MCF has been involved in helping us recruit her and train her and also release her. And in the past, you know, few years, over the years, there are a few other key leaders that I want to kind of, you know, talk to you about. If you move on to the next slide, that's Sukit. You know, he has been serving as an assistant to us alongside what we do. And he's been a support officer for the past, I think, 3 or 4 years. But now, currently, he's in the process of actually establishing a leadership school and working in the field of education and nurturing, you know, and developing future leaders. So we've just released him this year full-time to establish that academy. And I just want to let you know that MCF, your giving, your generosity has helped us to raise this key leader in our nation. And it's very special to us. So, and the next person in he was my actually first assistant that came alongside. His name is Jonathan Daniel. He just got married this year. He's been working with us at the initial part of initial stage in our movement, and now today he's a youth pastor in his local church, a full-time youth pastor, and also he's a key leader in one of the largest churches in Sri Lanka. So just want to let you know that your generosity is making an impact, it's making a difference, and it's raising up leaders, key strategic leaders in our movement and also in our nation. So I think why don't you give yourself a hand and you know, want to say a big thank you for investing and believing in our nation and also in our generation. So this morning, I just want to speak to you about what God wants to do, not just in only in our nation or not just in Australia, but globally. And I believe that, you know, this particular word that is on my heart is going to actually touch you, it's going to inspire you. And why don't you just tell your neighbor, turn to your neighbor and say, you know, God is going to touch you this morning, right? He's going to speak to you, right? He's going to speak to you. You know, all over the world, not just in our nation, but, you know, all over the world, we've been seeing, you know, crisis after crisis. In fact, you know, in our nation, in Sri Lanka, we've been just out of a crisis. It feels like normal, but we are still picking up. And, you know, God's been very, very gracious to us. And we've been able to kind of, you know, plant a church during that crisis, and also to see this move of God continue from strength to strength. We've been, you know, out of fuel. You know, we have fuel shortages, power outages, and we've had no food in the last couple of months because there was a political crisis, a national crisis, economic crisis. But in the midst of all that, you know, God began to minister to us and tell us, you know, everything that we are facing right now, the answer is only in the kingdom of God. The answer that people are looking for, the answer you can find, a permanent true answer, is only in the kingdom of God. Someone shout out the kingdom of God. You know, the answer is not in a political kingdom. The answer is not in a leader, a man, a human leader. The answer is not even in a nation, but the answer is in the kingdom of God. You know, we live in a broken, chaotic world, and we are experiencing the death of true human leadership. Politically and in any other areas, we are experiencing the death of true human leadership. I mean, everywhere we look, we see a leadership crisis. But how many of you know that we can always look to Jesus? He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and His kingdom is unshakable. His kingdom is eternal. And the remedy for the present crisis that we are facing globally is the kingdom of God, my friend. And it is our responsibility to come back under the government of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And that's why Jesus, you know, when he taught his disciples to pray, he said, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Right? The phrase on earth, there is a big emphasis on that phrase, on earth. You know, Jesus's priority was to bring the kingdom of God here to this earth. And just as much as, you know, this kingdom is eternal, this kingdom is something that we look forward to, I want you to know that this kingdom is also internal. It's now within you, right? It's now within you, and it's now among us. Hallelujah. Can someone shout amen to that? How many of you are glad that you have a kingdom within you? You have a kingdom that is inside of you. You know, no matter what shakes around you, no matter what is uncertain around you, there is a kingdom that is unshakable, and it's within you, the Bible says. It's among you. Amen. And that's why when you go through the storm, it will not sweep over you. When you go through the waters, it will not harm you. When you go through the fire, it will not burn you up. Why? Because there is a kingdom. Greater is He that is in me that is in the world. Amen. Friends, we have a kingdom that we need to proclaim and preach to this world, to the ends of the earth. And that kingdom is the only permanent answer that we have for this present crisis. In the book of Revelations, you know, there's a powerful picture about this kingdom and the destiny that we are going to face at the end of our story. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, the Bible says, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. That's going to be the ending of our story. How many of you know that God is not a God of anticlimax, but He's a God of climax? Everything that is happening throughout history, throughout our world, is going to come to a climax. And the Bible says the kingdom of this world is going to become the kingdom of our God. And He is going to reign forever and ever. That's the sovereignty of the kingdom of God. And that kingdom is not just only eternal, but it's internal. It's now within you. So I want to bring out a scripture that will bring out some truths about this kingdom that I'm talking about, the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and 32, Jesus taught a parable in this particular passage, and he speaks about the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and 32, let me read that to you quickly. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its tree, in its branches. Jesus is teaching about what the kingdom should look like. And he says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Everybody say mustard seed. A seed is insignificant, is invisible, but when it's planted in the field and when it goes beneath the surface of the earth, you know, it's very powerful. As long as it remains in your hand or in the seed basket, right, it will be useless. But the moment it falls to the ground, it goes beneath the surface, you know, it's powerful. It has life. It has potential to grow. And in fact, Jesus is teaching us it has potential to be the largest of all the garden plants. And that's what the kingdom should look like. That's what, you know, what God is doing inside of you. You know, it's going to grow, my friend. It has the potential to be the largest. It has the potential to be the head and not the tail. It has the potential to be the first and not the last. Why? Because there is a kingdom that is in you. But this is what I love about the kingdom. It says it always begins in a seed form. It always begins in a seed form. When God begins something in your life, He never begins big, but He always begins in a seed form. But it's up to us to nurture it and to make, it's up to us to nurture it and cause it to grow because it has potential. It has life. You know, let me just give you another illustration about this, right? In Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 24 and 25, He said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. He's teaching again about another seed. He says, as long as it remains in your hand, it's useless. But if it falls to the ground and dies, everybody say dies. It falls to the ground and dies, that's when it has the power to grow. You know what happens to a seed when it falls to the ground? You know, the grain of wheat, it has a hard husk around it. And that hard husk, you know, shuts the life that is inside the grain. The moment it falls to the ground and goes beneath the surface of the earth, you know what happens? That hard husk rots away. And then the life that is inside of it is able to spring up. Why? Because the moisture of the earth is able to reach, you know, that seed. And it brings life and it grows into becoming a plant. Do you know that all of us have a hard husk called self? Right? We have a hard husk around us that shuts the life of God that is in us. That's called an ego. That's called pride. And you know, the moment we let go of our pride, the moment we let go of ourself, that's when the life of God, the kingdom of God that is within us is able to grow. How many of you are getting what I'm saying today? You know, there is something about letting go of yourself. You know, Jesus, that's why Jesus said, you got to die to yourself if you want to follow me. If you want to follow me, you got to die, you got to deny yourself and take up the cross and then follow me. But the hardest part is this, we got to let go of ourselves. If you want to gain in the kingdom of God, you got to lose something. Right? You got to let go. You got to sacrifice. And that's what Jesus is teaching here. He's saying, you know, it begins in a seed form, but it takes us to let go, to die to ourselves if we really want to see growth in what God is doing in our lives. Now, it says a man took this seed and he planted it in his field. Everybody say field. right? It was planted in the field, right? The seed was planted in the field. Each and every one of you, you have your own field that you need to be planted in. You know, the kingdom is much bigger than what you think it is. You know, God wants to fill this entire earth with His glory. Come on, somebody. Amen. He wants to fill this earth, you know, like the waters cover over the earth. You know, the Bible says God wants to fill His glory on this earth. He wants to fill His earth with His glory. And the way He's going to do that is He's going to send you out into the field. He's going to send you out with the kingdom of God that is internal, that is eternal, and which is in you and among you. And you are going to go out into the field, and He's going to proclaim the kingdom of God. He's going to bring His glory in and through you. That seed has to be planted in the field. I wonder, when you look at your world, what do you see? Let me tell you what Jesus sees. Jesus sees a harvest in this field. When He sees the world, He says the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. And He is looking for His people. He's looking for His men. He's looking for His women. He's looking for families that can go out into the field and begin to gather in the harvest, that begin to, you know, win souls for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And you are that treasure that Jesus wants to send out into the field. That's why He says He's got to be planted in the field. It could be your field of work. Your field could be your home. Your field could be, you know, this city that you are in right now. But you got to be planted with God-given purpose, my friend. Wherever you are, wherever God has placed you, you got to know that God has a plan. He has a plan to prosper you. He has an eternal purpose that He wants to outwork in and through you. Come on, somebody. He has a purpose for your life. You are not here by accident, but you are here by divine purpose, my friend. You are here by divine appointment. Amen. God has a purpose. And this church, you know, is a place where you get equipped and you go into your field to bring the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? The man took the seed and he planted in the field. But watch this in verse 32. He says, though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, everybody say it grows. Yet when it grows, it becomes the largest of all. That's what I call, my friend, transformation into destiny. See, if you want to walk from small beginnings into a God-given destiny, you have to transform. You have to grow. You know, everything in the kingdom, it grows, it transforms. Let me tell you something about transformation. All right, so transformation, when God wants to transform you, you know, He doesn't repair you. Do you realize that? He doesn't repair you, right? He makes you a new creation. That's what He does. You know, God doesn't take something broken and repair you, but He makes you a new creation. That's why the Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, my friend, he is a new creation. The old is gone. Your old self, your old brokenness is gone. And the newness of life comes. God's answer to a broken world is a new creation. Is a new creation in you, is a new heaven and a new earth in eternity. That's God's remedy. That's God's answer. And when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you became a new creation. You became a new creation. Someone say, I'm a new creation. You are a new creation. You know, there's this old chorus that we sing, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I'm a born again. Oh, than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All the millennials and Gen Zs are like, oh, what on earth are you guys singing? Right, that. You are a new creation, and that's God's answer. And if you've been struggling with your past, if you've been struggling with something that, you know, that was bad in your childhood or in your past, I want to really affirm that, you know, God has already begun something new in you. You are a new creation, and it's time to make that new nature in you, you know, to grow and to become large so that you'll be able to overcome. And God also says in Romans, you know, you are more than a conqueror. You are not just a conqueror, but you are more than a conqueror. You know what that means? You know, what that means is, you know, when you get into a certain situation, you're going to come out, you're going to come out of that situation more than what you took into that situation. That's what it means. You know, you might go into a situation with a lot of strength and courage, but you are going to come out of it with more courage, with more character, with more strength. Hallelujah. That's what it means to be more than a conqueror. That's what it means to be a new creation, because God has made us a new creation. And this new creation needs to be transformed into the image of Christ. And that's when we become, that's when we walk in to a God destiny. Now, this man took the seed, he planted in the field, right? And then it says it began as the smallest seed of the earth, but yet when it transforms, yet when it grows, it becomes the largest of all garden plants. And then watch this, at the latter part it says, it becomes a blessing to the birds, and the birds would come and enjoy what God brings out of what he planted in the field. See, it's one thing to be a blessed Christian, but it's another thing to become a blessing to somebody. Right, most of us, you know, we think, you know, how are you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. You know, it's good to be blessed, Christian. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's good to be blessed. But it's another thing, right, when you are a blessing to somebody else. When you become a blessing out of the abundance that God has given you. You know, that's a different level of walking with God. And I believe that's what God wants to do in and through your life. You know, he wants to make you a blessing. He wants to make you a channel of God's blessing to this entire earth. That's what he told Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to make you a blessing, and I'm going to make you a blessing to all the families of the earth. And that's the journey that we are on. We want to become a blessing to many others. And this kingdom is so powerful that you are able to reach the ends of the earth. How many of you know that, you know, you are not just limited to Jerusalem, you're not just limited to Judea, but he said you will go to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's the boundary that God has set before us. He has called us to go to the ends of the earth, my friend. He has called us, you know, to reach this world with the power and the demonstration of the kingdom of God, because that is the only answer. And this morning, I really want to challenge you. I want to leave this message before you and let you know that the only answer that we have for the world is the kingdom of God, is to preach Jesus, is to say that, you know, the kingdom that comes through preaching the gospel is the only answer to this world. So this morning, I want to just take a moment right now, right, and pray together with you. Because I believe that just like, you know, Jesus, you know, prayed, we're going to take a few minutes right now and we're going to pray, you know, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because I believe, you know, that's a priority that Jesus has in this day and age that we are living in. You know, this broken world, you cannot reverse the brokenness. But one thing we can do is to preach the kingdom of God, to see a new creation, to see a new earth, a new heaven, a new creation inside of people. And that's what we believe in. And the only way they can see that kingdom is to be born of God, is to be born of the Spirit. So I want to just take a few minutes right now and I want to pray together and say, you know, Lord, we want to see the kingdom of God coming onto this earth. We want to see the kingdom of God coming onto our nation, you know, onto the rest of the world. We want to see the kingdom of God. And I want to tell you, my friend, that you know, when if we begin to see a move of God all across this earth, you know, God says, you know, I'm going to send the latter rain. You know, in the former rain came in the book of Acts chapter 2. You know, when he poured out his spirit, you know, usually in the agriculture of Israel, they have two types of rain. You know, you have the former rain that comes around September, October, which comes to actually water the seed that has been planted and to soften the soil so that the farmers can go out and plant the seed. But then there comes the latter rain. Right? Everybody say latter rain. Right, there is a latter rain in Israel agriculture, which comes around April. Right, that rain comes to actually gather in the harvest, to germinate the seed, and to gather in the harvest. And I believe with all my heart that there is a latter rain that's going to fall on this earth. And we are living in that time, we are living in that season where God is going to send his rain across this earth. Amen. And there are many pioneers, there are many leaders, there are many pastors, there are many missionaries who have gone as a result of the former rain and have planted seeds across this earth, across nations. They have planted seeds. But friend, how many of you know that there is a latter rain that we are going to experience in our generation and in the generations to come? And when that rain comes, we are going to see a harvest of souls. We are going to see a harvest of righteousness, you know, being added into the kingdom of God. And I don't know about you, but I am preparing myself. I am ready for that season. I'm ready to see that harvest where millions of people will proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Amen. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet right now? Why don't you stand to your feet right now? Every hand lifted up to Jesus, every hand lifted up to heaven, and begin to surrender and submit and say, Lord, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come into my home. Thy kingdom come, you know, into my school. Thy kingdom come into my workplace. May your kingdom come, my Lord. May your kingdom come. May the glory of God fill the earth. May the as the waters cover the earth, as the sea covers the earth, may the glory of God cover the earth. Why don't we just take 60 seconds right now? Lift up your voices and begin to connect with the anointing that is in this room. Begin to speak in tongues if you can speak in tongues. May the kingdom of God invade your space, your field right now. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Kiana masati atarararaba, ekarabasati atarararaba. O Rama kiana masati adorubaraba kati adaraba. Yeah, that's the anointing. That's the anointing of the kingdom of God. Kiarabasati atarabara. Yeah, namasati atarabako.